you got. Father, creator, sustainer, provider, protector, Lord of everything. Thank you. Because we have this immense privilege of coming into the holiest of holies, the place where you dwell, and talk to you. And thank you because it is only because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we can do that. Through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Father, that we can do that. Father, I pray that you will guard us, God, from the things that do not please you. Father, I pray that we will pursue the things that you want us to pursue. Father, that we can eliminate any excuse, any other thing that keeps us from your word. And we can know you better, Father. Because that's the only way, God, that we can truly become your images that represent you well here in this world. Far in the same line, we just want to thank you for everything, every gift that you've given us personally, God, everything that you do in our life, starting with the fact that we are alive. Starting with the fact that you gave us the opportunity to know you. But we thank you for the church family, Father, for the services they provide, not only here in Second Union, but worldwide. We thank you, God, for the small miracles that you work every day in our life that we are too busy or too flippant to recognize. And Father, we come to you with petitions as well, because this world is not where you want it to be. And the plan is already in motion, Father, but we are, in a sense, behind enemy lines. So we pray, God, that you will give us the courage to continue and persevere and renew our passion and our calling to you, God. Father, because you want us to be one. You want us to represent you well. And as one, God, we want to pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And deliver us from evil. Deliver us. That is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen, amen. And as you probably noticed from the bulletin and our beautiful participants, except Nico, of course. Not that you're not beautiful, but you know what I mean. You know, it's Youth Sunday, right? So I'm very happy and my heart is full with pride to see these young people stepping up and engaging in the service. So I appreciate everything that they do. As part of my preparation, when I was studying for my master's and doctorate, I end up discovering something about my character, my personality. Yes, I had to wait all the way until I was in college because, you know, sometimes school doesn't provide for you to find yourself that way. And I discovered that I really like research. Yes, I'm a nerd like that. And my brothers from the Tuesday night Bible meeting, the man discovered this about me a couple of weeks ago. And I still like to do that. You know, if I'm interested in a topic and I have the time, I will go on and research it and usually find what I'm looking for. And as a researcher, when you are being trained, they teach you there are different kinds of studies. One of them is the longitudinal study, which is you take a group or a sample, and you study it, and you collect data for a long period of time, years even. Actually, one of the longest is the Harvard Adult Development Study, which have been collecting data from a group of Boston men in regards of their health, mental, and physical, for over 80 years. So that is the gold standard, right? We all wanted to do that, but they're expensive and require a lot of time. So on the opposite side of that, we have what we call the cross-sectional studies. That is a type of observational study that analyzes data from a population in a specific point in time, right? And then we have case studies, right? Case studies is a detailed examination of a person, a case, or cases. And I think the case studies are the most appealing to the general population. And maybe not only studies per se, but also that kind of personal stories that give you some sort of insight into the person or group of people, right? And maybe that's why most people won't necessarily go and read an article at the Journal of Experimental Psychology, but probably will pick up a copy of I, Steve, one of many Steve Jobs biographies, right? Or something like that. And it's completely understandable since it's very different when you, let's say, as a parent, hear that these are 10 scientifically researched reasons on why you should homeschool your kids. Two, hey, let's go to that mom and dad that already has kids in college that were homeschooled, right? That's different. Or maybe it's for you, it's less interesting, to read an article on a specialty journal about a survey of 100 people that have been successful in their career versus someone that can share their personal story of how they found success in a field that you might be interested in and having the same sort of challenges that you probably do. Or maybe you're a student and you feel like you're failing academically. It is very unhelpful to read an article, a scientific article that says this is how much more successful you will be if you go to college, compared to if you read about someone that also had academic failure, but later on has success, life, and fulfillment, right? And that is kind of what we're about to do this morning, because in a sense, the Bible is no different. It has a lot of stories of people imperfectly doing the will of God, and as Christians, we want to see God's work in and through our life. We want to feel used by Him and with a clearly established purpose. But if we are honest, we tend to see most of those stories as unattainable examples. We read about Joseph, who endured being sold as a slave and taken to a foreign country, being imprisoned for many, many years, and then rising up to be the second most powerful person in Egypt. And we read, wow, that's a great story, but I don't see how that has anything to do with me. But we read about David, chosen by God, even when his own father forgot about him when the prophet came to visit. And then he went and defeated the giant that was terrorizing the whole of Israel's army. Went on to escape for his life because he was afraid he was going to be killed. Resisted the temptation of killing his enemy because he trusted God's plan. And we go, wow, surely God has a tremendous purpose for his life, but not now, not me. And I could go on and talk about Daniel, Deborah, Joshua, or Ruth. We can always find reasons for why things that happens to Mary, Peter, Paul, or even Jesus are out there. It has nothing to do with our life. But did you know that God's word has plenty of examples of individuals that made an impact and had influence, but don't carry that kind of fame or recognition, that kind that can put like a blockage in our minds that makes it difficult to relate to these heroes of faith? So this morning is one of those case studies of a small fame and huge impact. And I hope and pray that this case study inspire you, because at the end of the day, you probably don't feel used by God because we have a difficult time, obeying. And the case study we're going to be looking at is found in the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote during one of his many imprisonments to the Colossians. The Apostle wrote the letter to encourage them, also to address some issues that were brought up to him, and to challenge them to a great devotion to Jesus. But the cool thing is that after a careful reading of the letter, we learn that Paul has never met these people. Rather, this church was started by our case subject, a man by the name of Epaphras. And we know from Acts chapter 19 that Paul spent considerable amount of time in Ephesus during his travel. And as you can see in the map, Ephesus is about 100 miles northwest of Colossae. And by using a little bit of holy imagination, it is not difficult to conclude that most likely Paul met Epaphras in Ephesus. And as a little background, we read in Acts 19, he says, he entered the synagogue, this is Paul, and for 3 months spoke out boldly and argued persuasively about the kingdom of God. When some stubbornly refused to believe and spoke evil of the way before the congregation, he left them, taking the disciples with him, and argued daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord. So we just read that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, but they did not hear it directly from Paul, but from people with small fame that we probably will never meet on this side of eternity, and huge influence, like my dude Epaphras, who did what he learned from Paul during those years. And I hope that you want to know more about this hero, because you don't have any options, because that's what we are about to do. So let's go together to Colossians 1, all right? And starting in verse 3, we read, in our prayers for you, we always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of truth, the gospel, that has come to you just as is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world. So it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learn from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful ministry of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For these reasons, since the day we heard, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now please join me in chapter 4, starting in verse 12. It says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you. He's always wrestling in his prayer on your behalf, so that you may stand mature and fully assured in everything that God wills. For I testify for him that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. After this, please go find a Christian friend and tell them everything you've learned about Epaphras from the Bible. They're probably going to say, who? But how cool was Epaphras? What can we learn from him? Well, in no particular order, we know that he was a man of intercessory prayer. We read that he's always wrestling in his prayers on your behalf. Brothers and sisters, real fighters fight their fight on their knees. And I love what Charles Spurgeon says when it comes to prayer. He says, All hell is vanquished when the believer bows his knees in importunate supplication. Beloved brethren, let us pray. We cannot all argue, but we can all pray. We cannot all be leaders, but we can all be pleaders. We cannot all be mighty in rhetoric, but we can all be prevalent in prayer. I would sooner see you eloquent with God than with men. Prayer links us with the eternal, the omnipotent, the infinite, and hence is our chief resort. Be sure that you are with God, and then you might be sure that God is with you. This mode of prayer, intercessory, might be a little bit different to the kind of prayer that we are most used to. And we have a clear example back in chapter 1, verses 9 to 14. And listen to the way they pray for them. For these reasons, is the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. When was the last time you prayed for someone else like this? When was the last time you prayed for your spouse like this? For your children? A co-worker? A neighbor? When was the last time you prayed for your pastor like this? Even for yourself? And of course, there is nothing wrong with praying for the physical and other needs of a person, but I'm afraid that we have neglected the spiritual growth needs of others. I know I have. Number two, we learn from our boy Epaphras that he was obedient to God's clear command. We read that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and in Hierapolis. If we look at our map again, we can see that if our theory of Epaphras meeting Paul is correct, he must have traveled east from Ephesus into Hierapolis, down to Laodicea, and finally got to Colossae. And if the name of Laodicea sounds familiar, it's because it's one of the churches that Jesus Christ himself addressed in the book of Revelation. How cool is that our boy Epaphras might have planted the church of Laodicea that made it to the book of Revelation? And I know that Jesus did not have anything good to say about them. Well, we cannot put that on Epaphras. You know, many things could have happened. But I just want you to see and notice these connections in Scripture that you probably never did before. So he was sitting under Paul's instruction, being discipled by Paul for God knows how long. And what do you think made him travel with the message of the good news of Jesus Christ? Maybe that little teaching that you probably have heard somewhere, to go into all the world and make disciples. And guys, he was moved by love. If you see, he was just trying to get back home. He was just trying to get back to his people. And on the way, he just preached the gospel to the cities that were on his way. He was going back to his own Jerusalem. That was all that he was doing, apparently. But be like Epaphras. And I know, guys, by personal experience, that sharing the gospel with those closest to you might be the hardest thing to do. But what if, in the meantime, you do that with those that are in your way? That neighbor, that friend from work, and then you will, you know, practice a little bit. Then you will gather up some courage a little and then share with the ones that you love. If you want to see God moving, if you want to know your purpose in this life, obey. And brothers and sisters, I don't want to burden you more than is appropriate, because every time we open Scripture, it is correct to be burdened and bothered a little bit by what we read. But it's for your own benefit. Try to figure out. And I'm here to help. I can assure you that. And as I mentioned before, we do have a group of men that meets on Tuesday nights. And these men, we have there Dennis Gonzalez. He's the one that invited me. We have Chris Strong, John Alberts, Jose Guzman, and Fred Ross. And if you know any of these guys, it won't come as a surprise that they have given me a run for my money. You know, he have been truly being iron sharpening iron, you know. But this might surprise you. It is one of the most encouraging group of people that I've ever been a part of. So it's for your own benefit that I encourage you to be a part of a discipling group. Maybe you can lead it. Maybe you can join someone else. What we're doing, we're just reading the New Testament in chronological order. And I've learned so much. I can tell you that much. Number three, we find that Epaphras' obedience made him a partner with Jesus. We read, you have heard of this gospel that has come to you just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world. Guys, the only reason we have the famous Apostle Paul writing a letter that by God's perfect providence had made it into your hands in the year 2021 is because a guy named Epaphras that you probably even thought about for 2 seconds before today. But I guarantee you that he will be highly exalted by his King and our King, Jesus Christ, in his coming kingdom. He partnered with Jesus in something that he couldn't even imagine would have so much influence and has impact on so many generations. So what about you? Now I want to invite my brother Gian to share with you a little bit of what God has been up to in his life in hopes that this will encourage him. Gian?
Yeah. Yes. Hello, I'm Gian. So, you know, I'm 15. Yeah, that doesn't really say much about me, but, you know, during the pandemic where a lot of people are just sort of depressed at home, they can't really go other places, and the whole concept of like a discipleship group isn't really too keen on their minds recently. Well, when you're 15, you know of some apps that, you know, you get to talk to people usually. Something that you guys are probably familiar with is WhatsApp, okay, you know. Text, call, etc. But to a 15-year-old who is really into video games, there's a different app, okay? There's a different one. It's called Discord. Some of you guys might have heard of it, some not. But the point about Discord is that you have this group, okay? You can add people if you want to. It's like a community, okay? But you can make this server, which is like, imagine like a group chat in WhatsApp or like in Messages. My grandma likes to add a bit too many messages, group chats, and never use them again. But this one is used. This one is useful. This one, we call, because of, you know, Gustavo. Hello, my pastor. Thank you very much. All props to him, by the way. He's the one who started this, okay? So I just want a bit of a clap to Gustavo. Yes. Amazing. Thank you. He really does deserve it. He really does. Because what I did with the server, I called it Church Revival. What is that? Okay, Church Revival, okay, because of something that Gustavo sent me, a little podcast that he just wanted to share. It mentioned of a dude in Britain. I don't even remember his name, but I remember what he did. A couple years back, I don't know how many, less than 100, He made this church where instead of, you know, preaching as we usually do with a teleprompter and with the Bible and, you know, Colossians, Ephesians, etc., what he did is that he just sat and he prayed. That was his entire thing. You come, you pray, and you just pray. For the first 20 minutes of his first session, you know, of his first serving, you can imagine how well it went. But after, you know, 20, 30 minutes, you know, he got a bit discouraged and was thinking, oh, okay, I think I'm gonna go now. But then people started to come. Right? It's incredible. I know, I can't believe it either. People actually attended. And so with this, okay, this is what he was calling church revival, where you want to get in touch with God. Usually with the church, normally, people just come, they sing a couple dances, okay, they hear the word, and they leave. But with this, with what he made, you listen to the word through prayer. You listen to him through prayer or other concepts like that. But also, additionally, what he also sent me, the podcast also mentions discipleship. Usually, churches don't really mention discipleship. Discipleship is, you know, Great Commission, I believe, Matthew? Yes? Great Commission, Matthew. Go out into all the world and make disciples. You know, with Peter, do you remember Peter, the dude who disowned Jesus 3 times before the rooster crowed? What Jesus told him, you know, while he was on the side, disciples were eating, Jesus went over to him and he asked him 3 times, Peter, do you love me? And 3 times when Peter responded, yes, Lord, you know I love you, he answered back, then go out and feed my sheep. Make disciples, guys, make disciples. So this is where church revival comes in. An app, Discord, like when I shared this to other people, they were scared of the concept because normally Discord isn't something that you include Jesus in. But in this one, you have the church revival server. And in here, I just sort of invited people, you know, even people at my new school. You can imagine how awkward that was. The chat didn't even talk for a good 2 weeks after I sent that message to them to join. But in the church revival server, what we do is that we come every Thursday and Sunday. I didn't want to just make it Sunday because, I don't know, that just seemed a bit too much of a turnoff. So also Thursday. Third day, it's a good day. It's not a Wednesday. It's not the middle of the week. But it's also not a Friday while you're out in Palma del Mar drinking piñas coladas while driving a golf cart. But with the church revival server, okay, great things happen. Really cool things happen. Like, for example, when I mentioned Palma del Mar, that was just a complete wreck where I couldn't even talk because my internet was terrible. And I had to communicate with a person with texting. Duh. That person who I was texting, his name is Cecil. This man, Cecil, he believes in Christ like many of us do, especially those who go to a Christian school. They believe in Christ. Do they follow Christ? That's a different story. With him, he believed that he was a good person. He believed that he had a very few amount of sins compared to others, and that even with some sins, he never committed. With him, when I was talking to him, and he was texting me, when I was in Palmas del Mar, and my parents were in the same rooms that I were, I was trying to communicate God to him, and he turned to Christ. What? What? I know, incredible. Okay, and so with him, when I realized with him, it's like, wow, this can actually go places. This can actually work. And so I included him, and additionally, going to, you know, what Jesus said about the sheep, feed my sheep, make disciples. Right? Feed my sheep, make disciples. Yes. I decided to make a discipleship group. Why not? Why not just go with it? You know, it's more than that. It's more like, you know, I thought more than let's just go with it, okay? But with this discipleship group, I have 5 people. 2 of them best friends since kindergarten, really. The others, 3 people that I hadn't even met until I did the server, and we started to have these sermons on Thursdays and Sundays. Yeah, one of them was Catholic. He's Catholic. He knows a bunch about Revelation, much more than me. Okay, he remembers it. He remembers it all, and he remembers a lot of scripture, but he doesn't apply it. But then with another friend of mine, you know, from kindergarten, amazing dude. His name is Alex. okay? With Alex, he doesn't know much scripture, but does he love God? Of course. Does he want to do the God, does he want to do the work of God? Of course he does. So that's sort of the difference. You can have a person who knows a lot of God, but with another person, he might not know so much, but he wants to do more. He loves more, and that's the key motive here: love. We want to do things out of love, you know, for the church, but more so for Jesus, so that, you know, his name is proclaimed throughout the world, but also so that, you know, those atheists, you know, that cousin over there that believes in evolution and that's like super as a scientist and want to become a neurosurgeon, that cousin, I'm talking about that cousin, we should love them. We should love them, like this church revival server. I have a friend of mine in sixth grade. Her name is Evanise. I'm mentioning her name because you will probably never meet her. And if you ever do meet her, please don't tell her that I told you her name. Her name is Evanise, and she went to the States after sixth grade. Afterwards, she started to not really believe in God. You know, she believed that there is a God, you know, sort of that. But she also brought her friend over to this church revival server. And I talked to her in New Year's Day. And afterwards, she's been coming to this church revival constantly. Her and her friend Kai, as she wants to go off of, they come every Thursdays and Sundays. Some of the people that I disciple, you know, the five dudes, they don't come every Thursdays and Sundays. Like, wow. And also, just, yeah, wow, it's really amazing. And so I just wanted to share to all of you to make disciples and feed their sheep between them all.
Uh-huh. Love you, I don't know if I should laugh or cry or pray for me, you know? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Don't believe them, guys. You know I'm sentimental. Anyways. I had nothing to do with what he wanted to say. I just said go and share because it's amazing. A 15-year-old, what do you know? The gospel works. What do you know? We still have power to change lives. People are thirsty and hungry for the hope that is only found in Jesus Christ. And man, if God can use Gian, imagine that. I'm joking. Totally joking. I mean, guys. Paul described the gospel as a word of truth. And some of you need to accept that truth this morning. Truth. God created you to be with him. Right now, it's not that important to know why. He is God. He could. He wanted. There you are. Truth. By sinning, you have separated yourself from a holy God. God gave you a conscience that tells you that you are doing wrong. When you lie, when you dishonor your parents, every time you use your sexuality outside a marriage between a man and a woman, every time you take something that it does not belong to you, even music and movies from the internet, you open up a gap between you and God. Truth. It does not matter how many good works you do. It is impossible to close that gap on your own. You know what? Because once you've committed the offense, it doesn't go away. Truth. God has taken the initiative to restore your relationship with him unilaterally and has provided a way to close the gap between you and him. In Jesus Christ, the God-man, you have the payment for your sin. In his death and resurrection, Jesus walk into the courtroom and say, I will pay for their debt. So they can go free. Truth. God is laying this gift in front of you today. Again, the opportunity to turn you from enemy to beloved child. If this is you today and you need to repent, which is change your mind and accept that truth, let me know. I would love to pray for you. And if you're online, please send us a message. I will personally respond to it. But do not ignore the gift of God. Today is the day for your salvation. We're not sure about tomorrow. For the rest of you, how will your life look like if you were always wrestling in your prayers on behalf of someone in particular? How will your family or place of work be different if you obeyed God's clear commands? Forget about the other ones that you don't understand, but the clear ones. How would our church and our community change if we partner with Jesus into something so amazing that for the last 2,000 years, it went from a couple of hundred Jewish people to billions of people throughout the world, all nations under the heavens? Our model is Jesus. He's our Lord. He's the person we look up to. But I want you to meditate on this man who had a small fame but huge influence. So that even if your name does not end up written somewhere, you can become a nobody pointing as many people as possible to Jesus Christ. Teaching them to obey what you already know from Him. And again, it's an example, but Gian, he'd never been to seminary. I've never been to seminary. He hasn't even finished high school. You can all do it, these guys. You can all do this, guys. And this is all I can do. We come here and we plead with you to give God a chance to use you. But that's all we can do. You have to make the decision to obey. Look around. There's people around you that need you. You need the message that you have. Someone once said you can take a horse to the water, right? Or you cannot make him drink. But you can certainly put some salt in those oats to make him thirsty. So let's pray, guys. Father, you're so gracious to us, man. It's just difficult to understand, God. Because if it was me, man, I would have just given up, go to a different planet, man. But it's for you, the glory of your name, the fame of your Son, and the power of the Spirit that you still call us. Have mercy on us, God, and forgive us when we don't obey. Empower us to obey and bring us together so we can encourage each other as we go. Holy Spirit, as we sing this last song, I just pray that you will go into every mind, every heart that is under the sound of my voice at this time, and you will just show them how great and all the things you could do for us. Please take this prayer to the Father, in the name of the Son, Jesus, in whom we pray. Amen.